All right, the first scripture that we're going to use this morning, I'll tell you what, but before we turn to Romans chapter number 5, let's turn to the book of Hosea. And this morning we're going to preach a message on redemption. This year, because of the encouragement of some friends, I am going to complete my reading of the Bible in 1 year. I've never done it before in 1 year. But this year, it's going to get done. And so in my Bible reading this week, I read through the book of Isaiah or Hosea. And as I was reading through the book of Hosea, one of the things that you find out is God calls Hosea and he calls him to go and take a wife. I believe her name is Gomer, by the way. And if you look at Hosea 1:2, it says, "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord." Here's what God asked Hosea to do. He asked Hosea to go and choose his wife, knowing that his wife was going to be an adulteress, knowing that she would go into harlotry. And the reason that God told him to go and take her was because that it was a symbol of the relationship that God had with the nation of Israel. And so the book of Hosea, much of it is about this relationship. So when Hosea talks about his wife and the things that God asked Hosea to do in order to redeem his wife from the harlotry, is a picture of God pursuing his nation, his people, the nation of Israel, and how that the nation of Israel had turned their back on God, and how God has provided for them redemption, and has even in the last days, you know, he's going to bring his people back from the four corners of the earth. So you see, the book of Hosea is a book of redemption, how God is redeeming his people and calling them back into himself. Really, that analogy there that is used is an analogy that we can see for all of God's people. The message that we see throughout the entire scripture is the message that God is redeeming his people. He has provided for them. He has paid the price for their redemption. And they may have come to him for a period of time, and then they've turned their back on him. But he goes and he redeems them and brings them back. The entire Bible is about God redeeming his people. And so today, I just, as I thought about that, and I thought about how God had called Hosea to do this, and thought about the scriptures, we see throughout the entire scripture God redeeming his people. So today, redemption is my message. We're going to start in the book of Genesis and end in the book of Revelation. Eventually, we'll see that through the entire scripture, we see the message of redemption. But why redemption? Well, if we just think about the definition of redemption, we recognize that redemption is to rescue by the paying of a price. It would be if your car was impounded, you got a parking ticket and you didn't pay your parking ticket and they impounded your car, then you would need to redeem your car. And in order to redeem your car, you would go and you would go to the impounding place, you would pay the penalty, you would pay the fines, and then you would be able to redeem your car from the captivity of the impoundment. So you'd pay the price. Well, when we think about redemption, we understand this, that the wages of sin is death, and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, Redemption is this, that God has paid the price for the wages of our sin. He has paid the penalty that was necessary to remove the penalty of the curse that is against us. And so we understand that God is rescuing His people. You see, we understand today that the reason that we need to consider the being rescued is because that all have sinned. Because we have fallen away from God. And we have transgressed the law of God. But we understand that God has a great love for His people. God has a great desire to keep His people away from sin and to rescue them from sin. And so we understand that that's why we have redemption, because God is rescuing His people from sin. We recognize that men were created for God. And men were created to display the glories of their Maker. But because of our sin, we can't do that. Our lives are tarnished. Our abilities are tarnished. Our soul is depraved. We are totally unable to show forth the glories of our great God and Savior. And so therefore, since we are unable to do that, God has to redeem us, and He has to take away the garments which are spotted with the flesh, and He redeems us, and He renews us, and so that we can show forth His glory. So now let's turn over to the book of Romans in chapter number 5. When Adam desired his own way in the garden, he rebelled against his Maker. And Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We understand the penalty of death is passed upon us, and so therefore we need to be redeemed from the penalty of that death. And that's what Jesus has done for us. He has paid the price, the wages of our sin, which was His death. Now, our souls are saved instantaneously. Our flesh is not saved instantaneously. We have to go through the process of our flesh being saved. And that's where we crucify the flesh and put on the new man, put off the old man and put on the new. That's the process of sanctification. We go through the process of sanctification for the rest of our lives. But we needed to be redeemed because death has passed upon all men. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, we understand that Adam was immediately separated from God. And we also know the process of dying began. And so Adam sinned and death passed upon all men. And so therefore we understand that all men need redemption because all men have sinned. We understand that. I want you to think about this today. How did God respond to Adam's sin? Let's go to the book of Genesis in chapter number 3 to see how God responded to Adam's sin. The great thing we're going to see is that God did not leave Adam without hope. God told Adam, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Adam ate, and Adam knew that he was a sinner. Adam knew that instantaneously he was separated from God. But God did not leave Adam without hope. The first thing we want to see, how did Adam respond? When Adam sinned, God came to Adam to talk to him in the cool of the day like it was his custom to do. And what did Adam do when he heard the voice of God? Adam read and hid, didn't he? Adam tried to cover his sins by making aprons of fig leaves. That's the same way that every man responds to sin. You're afraid of God because of sin. Listen, the reason that people do not come running into church when you offer them the message of hope is because of this. sin causes us to be afraid of God because we understand that we have broken the law of God. The reason that people don't want to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is because they're afraid of God. The reason you can't get your family to come to church is because they're afraid of coming to church. The reason you can't get them to sit down and listen to the Bible reading is because they're afraid of the Bible. It's inherent in them. They're afraid of the things of God. That's why they don't love the things of God. It's because it's inherent in us to turn away from God. Listen, that's why people stay away from church. Because it's inherent in them to run away from God. When we stay away from church, we're giving the flesh victory. We're giving the natural man the victory. It is difficult for us because it is our nature to run away from God just like Adam did in the Garden of Eden. And so when we're not coming to church, we are and not coming to be with God's people, what we're doing is we're giving the flesh the victory. We're walking according to the flesh. We're doing that which is natural for us to do, to go away from the things of God, just like Adam did in the garden. Then what do we try to do? We want to try to cover up our sin. We want to, my sin's not too bad, and I've not done anything too wrong, I think I'm still an okay person or whatever. We try to cover up our sin. We try to make excuses for our sin, just like Adam did. Well, that woman you gave me, it was her fault. She gave me the fruit and I didn't eat. If it wouldn't have been for that woman that you made, if you would have never made that woman, then I'd have never sinned. See, we try to pass blame on somebody else. That's what Adam did, and that's what every one of us try to do. It is our nature to run away from God, to try to cover our sin, and try to blame our sin and our position on someone else. That's our nature. It's what Adam did when he was confronted with his sin, and that's what every one of us have done. Run away from God, cover our sin, and try to pass the blame off on someone else. That's what Adam did. That's how Adam responded to Adam's sin. But how did God respond to Adam's sin? Well, we understand in verse number 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. How did God respond to Adam? He came to where Adam was. Verse number 9 says, and the Lord God called unto Adam. You see, God came to Adam. And the thing that I love about this is if you turn over to verse number 15, you see, what's happening in verse number 14 is God begins to pronounce the curse. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. There's the curse. But I want you to understand, in the midst of the curse is hope. See, how did God respond to Adam? Adam ran away. Adam tried to cover. Adam tried to make excuse. How did God respond? In the midst of the curse, God offered hope. When he said these words in verse number 15, when he was speaking to the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Here's the hope. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the first offering of the gospel. He says unto the serpent, you're going to bruise the heel of the seed of woman. Who's he talking about there? There's only one person that's the seed of woman, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's been born of a virgin. Everyone else is the seed of man. They have flesh and blood like every other man does. There's only one person that's known as the seed of woman, and that's Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is, I'm going to send my son Jesus Christ. My virgin-born son is going to come into this world. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Victory over sin is given. Hope is given in the midst of the curse. What a blessing to know. The promise of redemption. The glorious promise of redemption is written right in the middle of the curse. So when God is pronouncing judgment, he's offering hope. How did God respond to Adam's sin? Well, he judged sin. Adam's going to die. Death is going to pass upon all men. And all the effects of the curse. Every day, we see the effects of the curse. But God, in the midst of the curse, offers that hope of Jesus Christ and him crucified and him paying the price for our sins and him overcoming the penalty of sin, which is death, and him bringing eternal life. How did God respond? God responded with offering redemption. You see, this promise of redemption from the curse is a promise which runs through the entire Scripture. Some call it the crimson thread that runs through the entire Scripture. But what we see, no matter where you turn in the Holy Writ, one main thought is promoted: God's redemption for His people. It doesn't matter where you're looking, what subject you're looking at, there is one topic that you're going to see displayed, and it is the fact that God is redeeming His people. If you go through the Old Testament and you see God calling Abram, to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, why is He doing that? Why does God call Abraham? Because God is going to make of Abraham a great nation, a nation through whom His Son would come, and a nation through whom Jesus Christ would be born, and He would be able to provide redemption. So why does God call Abram? So that He can redeem His people. It may be the story of the Exodus. If you read through the Exodus and God calling His people out of Egypt and going into the land of Canaan, there what do we see? We see His people, Egypt being a type of sin, and His people being slaves of sin. But we see the picture of redemption, that God is calling His people out of the bondage to sin, and He's taking them to Canaan land, to the place that He has prepared for them. See, if you're reading through the Exodus, you see the glorious story of redemption. It may be the fact that He's establishing His kingdom, and He makes David His king. And He establishes that nation through whom His Son will rule and reign forever and ever, you see, because He's calling His people out of the world and to be His people. And He will be ruler over them forever and ever. Yes, He's redeeming His people. It may be that God is bringing judgment upon Israel's sin. You may be reading that when the kingdom is divided and then the nation goes into Babylonian captivity and Assyrian captivity. But what we see there is that, listen, sin is a reproach to any people. And if you live in sin, that God will allow you to suffer the consequences of your sin. And you will go into captivity. But the end of the story is that God comes and redeems His people, see, even from the clutches of sin. What we see is the story of redemption. You see John the Baptist coming along and preaching, prepare you the way of the Lord, because God is not just redeeming His people Israel, but we see that God is redeeming from every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. You see the story of redemption. It can be Jesus Christ establishing His church, because He wants His church to do one thing: go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, so that lost sinners, whether they be Jews or whether they be Gentiles, can hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, of the redemption that can only be found in Jesus, so that every kindred, nation, people, and tongue can hear the glorious message of redemption. And we could go on and on and on and on and talk about going through the Scripture. Everything you see in the Scripture is tied to one thing. God is redeeming His people. No matter where you look, from Genesis through Revelation, you see the story of redemption. So, now I want us to turn to the book of Revelation in chapter number 22. Because we saw in Genesis 3, God offering that hope of redemption. Even in the midst of the curse, He's telling us how He's going to crush the head of the serpent. He's going to overcome the curse. But now we're coming down to the end of God's Word, the end of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the end of what we're going to see. As a matter of fact, the new heaven and the new earth has appeared. But let's read a few verses. Revelation 22:16. And I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bride and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto thee, unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. What do we see? Jesus saying, come. What do we see in the garden? God coming to where Adam was in the midst of Adam's sin. He said, Adam, where are you? I'm offering to you redemption. What do we see here? In the end, what do we see Jesus saying? Jesus saying, come. What do we hear the Spirit saying? We hear the Spirit saying, come. What are they saying? The message of redemption is there. We live, we're sinful people, and because we're sinful, we need a Savior. And yes, we might be underneath the curse, but listen, if you'll come and take the water of life, you'll have it freely. Or you may be in the bondage to sin in your life. You may become captive to sin in your life, and you're not living what you ought to be. But the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come unto me, all your labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, from the beginning of the Scripture to the end, we see the offer of redemption. It doesn't matter where you look in the Bible, you see redemption. God calling out to His people, saying, come unto me, come unto me. And today, that's the message of redemption. That's what you need to know, every one of you. It doesn't matter where you're at. God is saying, come. You may have never been born again. You may still be dead in your trespasses and sins. Jesus is saying, come. Or you may be in bondage to the sin of the world. You've been saved, but you're just not walking the way that you should. You began to allow things to come into your life that you never imagined you would allow to come into your life. You may have thought that you'd always be dedicated to the Lord, but you're just not as dedicated to the Lord as you once were. And you know in your heart that you're not walking the way that you should. What's the message today? Jesus is saying, come. The offer of redemption is there. You may be in bondage to the world, but the offer of redemption is still there. Come unto me. Come unto me. I'm here to redeem you from your flesh. I'm here to redeem you from the curse of the law. I'm here to buy you back. You see, that's what God said, told Hosea to do. And Hosea went and bought Gomer, his wife, back out of harlotry. You read the story of Hosea, you'll see how much it cost him and what he did. But she had left him and went into prostitution. And he went and paid the price for a prostitute to buy his own wife, which was his possession. He went and bought her back from her prostitution. And today some of you are walking just like that, maybe. The offer has been made. The price has been paid. So we see in the closing words of God's testimony, the offer of redemption. Listen, if you're in bondage to the world today, you've allowed things to come into your life that God, Jesus has paid the price. God has paid the price to buy you out of that. He wants to call you out today. He's calling you out from living in the world to live wholeheartedly unto Him. I want to close with this today. What will your answer be when it comes to the offer of redemption. Let's look in the book of Luke in chapter number 7. The book of Luke, chapter number 7. And I'm going to read verses 36 through 48. Now, this is a kind of a lengthy reading, but I think it's important. Because we want to look and see how one responded to the offer of redemption. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, which she knew, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast judged rightly." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven." What do we find here? We find a woman who was offered redemption. And the redemption was received. And her sins were forgiven. That's what we see. What was her answer? Her answer was repentance of her sins and the receiving of redemption. Now let's turn to the book of Acts in chapter number 26. And we're going to see another one who was offered redemption. And what was his response? Acts 26. Begin reading in verse number 20. Verse 19. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou that thou believest. Then Agrippa saith unto Paul, O most, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul offered unto King Agrippa redemption in Jesus Christ. What was Agrippa's response? Redemption was rejected, and his sins were retained. The Scripture never tells us that Agrippa ever changed his position, that he continued on in the rejection of redemption. What was his answer?
where will he spend eternity?
You see, today, the story of redemption has been presented to you. How will you respond? Some of you have never believed in Jesus Christ. You've never believed the gospel that Christ Jesus died for your sins and he was raised again the third day for your justification. And you have continually rejected him. And so you've never received redemption. When you stand at the bar on high, you know what your answer is going to be? The word you're going to hear is, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." Some of you, the offer of redemption has been made and you have responded to that offer of redemption and you have received eternal life and a remission of sin. But if I was asked you right now, how is your life? Is there sin in your life? Have you allowed things to creep into your life? Are you as dedicated to the Lord as you should be? Your answer would probably be, I'm not. Are you living more according to the flesh? Or are you walking in the Spirit? You would probably say, I'm living in the flesh. You would be equivalent of the children of Israel when they were in bondage. You're separated from the blessings of God. You're separated from the presence of God. There's no peace in your life. There's no comfort. There's no joy. Listen, today, the offer of redemption is there. If you will repent of that sin and respond positively to the call of God upon your life, you'll find redemption and forgiveness and the restoration. Remember what Jesus, what David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. See, David had sinned and he had transgressed the law of God and the joy of his salvation was gone. Some of you are in that place. The joy of your salvation is gone. Repent and you'll receive the joy of your salvation. Redemption has been made. Repent to receive the joy of your salvation. And some of you are living redeemed and we thank you for that. But what will your answer be if God came to you and challenged you about your life today? What would your answer about your life be? Would your answer be, I'm living for me, or I'm doing all I can to live for the Lord because He saved me by His glorious grace. I love Him and I want to serve Him. Do you recognize this? You are giving an answer for your life every day, whether you know it or not. What will your answer be? We see it, redemption, through entire Scripture. What will your answer be? Heavenly Father, I pray that you will just add your blessings to your word. We know that you have sent your Holy Spirit here. We know that your Holy Spirit is convicting hearts even just now. And God, if there's one here that's lost, that has never received redemption, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict their hearts in such a way that they'll have no choice but to return to you and to give their life to you. And Lord, there's another one that has walked the aisle, but Lord, they're not living the way that they should. They're still living according to the flesh. And Lord, your Holy Spirit is convicting them over that. Lord, I pray that they'll understand the offer of redemption that's there. Thank you, Lord, that you're redeeming us every day. Help us to walk in that redemption that you provided for us. Deal with hearts today, we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.